Praise the Lord. Again, I'd like to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. This special day for you. And just thank God for all the good fathers. It's just like we have a Mother's Day, now we have a Father's Day. Amen. And those are days to honor our parents, and then it's good. Amen. Like I said before, that father is the head of the house, but the mother is the heart of the house. Amen. And it takes both. You know, you can have a good head, but if you ain't got a heart, then you're in bad shape, kind of, you know. Amen. God looked at Adam and said it's not good for man to be alone, so he made him a helpmeet. And then the same thing with Christ, you know. Christ is the head of the church, see. Amen. But we're to have the feelings of the church to edify one another, and we're the wife of Christ is the heart of the church. Amen. And therefore, Jesus said, "This shall all men know you're my disciples because you love one another." Amen. So it's something about the church, and the Word of God talks about edifying one another and lifting one another up, and care. The body has the same care, one member for another, and all these things. Amen. But it makes good and clear who's the head of the church. Amen. He's the head of all things that pertains to the church. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so is it in a home. Amen. A father can have a good head on him, know how to make a living. Amen. But as that little poem said there, if a splinter get in the little one's finger, the mother's the one that goes to. Amen. So it works pretty good. I tell you, when you look at God's workings, I tell you, you're going to be hard-pressed to come up with something to complain about, aren't you? Amen. The way he did things, I mean, it's just you going to... If you complain about it, you just have to be hard pressed. Amen. Glory to God. I want to say we really appreciate you being in the house of the Lord, and taking the time out of your schedule. And I'm not going to hold too long. And I guess people have some stuff planned for this evening. Many of you have. And we'll just get right into the Word of God here. And we enjoyed the singing, the testimonies, whatever. Amen. To this point. Amen. Now, I want to take a little thought this morning. Having the right slant to the gospel. Having the right slant. And I looked that word up, slant. It's an amazing little word, even in Webster's Dictionary. Amen. And he has a lot of different, you use that word in a lot of different conversations of slant. And you can use it as being bias. And then you look up the word bias, it points you to slant. And sometimes you have to be a little bit biased in this world, don't you? I believe Jesus was. I believe Paul was. Amen. I believe the saints was. They had the right slant on the word. Now, this thought came to me more so this week. I listened to a minister, and he had a lot of good sayings, you know, just good sayings, but he never pointed in any direction, just a lot good, had some good quotes and all, but it weren't pointing in any certain way. Kind of like the book of Proverbs. Amen. You got a lot of good saying, words of wisdom, a lot of good saying, but it don't give us a story or point you in any way, you know, other than just, it just gives you bits of wisdom. And it's real good in the book of Psalms, some of the other books. And we look at that from the standpoint of the Word of God in the gospel of this day and hour we're living in. I believe Paul had a specific goal in mind. Amen. Now, we can get and read the Word of God, and we can find in there about how the flood came, how Enoch walked with God, how Moses lived with the children of Israel, and different things about, and everything in there is true, it's good. But when we come to the gospel of, Paul said the gospel of your salvation, that's Ephesians 1, the gospel of your salvation. Amen. We find out that when the gospel went to Israel, there was 12 apostles. Amen. But when it came to the Gentiles, there was one that was a little different from the rest. Amen. And the other apostles didn't associate much with him. He was born out of due season. Well, he had a certain slant to the gospel. Amen. That made it just right for the Gentiles. See? Amen. In other words, he just didn't get up and quote scripture. He weren't neutral, see? Amen. You can read the Bible and be a neutral person as to which way you're going and all. And there's hardly anybody today that won't say they don't believe the Bible. See? You believe the Bible? Yes. And most of the people, you believe that Jesus Christ has come? Yes. Unless it happened to be a Jew in Israel or something. Or Orthodox Jew. But the point is, most everybody, I believe the Bible. You believe that the apostles, Jesus had 12 apostles? Yes. You believe there was a man named John the Baptist? Yes. And all that, you know, but there's no certain slant to it. There's no certain direction to it. Amen. They believe in a neutral sense. See? But now, Paul, he had a gospel that got him in trouble. Because it was a little, it challenged people. And you could say Paul was biased. Well, I believe he was when it came to the Gentiles because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. Even Peter and them, they didn't want a whole lot to do with Paul. Well, he had a bias, on the Word of God. He was biased as far as what Jesus came to do, what God did through Jesus Christ, and what God was doing then. He weren't happy just to go along with the status quo. And they thought Paul's biased. He's slanting it this way. Well, I want to preach this in relationship to a dream that I had. Last week, I guess, week four. And, you know, he's talking about Father's Day there. I brought in the point that the father is the head, but the wife is the heart, see? The man's the head, the woman's the heart, see? And it kind of works together and make it like the two wings of an eagle. It'll fly, you know. Fly, little eagle, fly. Amen. You got to have it all put together. Praise the Lord. But in this dream, and I feel like it was the Lord to show me something, seemed like I was just vaguely in the dream, and seemed like I was more or less in the spirit seeing this take place. But I was at a certain place, and I noticed the bees. Honeybees, every once in a while, one zoom, 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 come by, and you know, they were just going, like, no certain direction, no certain purpose other than just flying. And that's kind of the way Christianity is today. Just do that, just go everywhere. But here come a man and a woman out of the little clearing, out of the woods. And they had a honeycomb. And I've saw honeycombs. Brother Loggins used to raise bees over here, and he'd buy these honeycombs where they're already made, and the little holes and everything all you put in. And the bees make a lot more honey because they don't have to go through and use wax to make the bees. The beehives, rather. And in this, I was looking there, and there was bees, zoom, zoom, you know, just fly by. But I thought them bees looked like they just going every way. Helped a man a little bit, went with him hunt bees. We call him Bee Boy. Most of you probably know him, you know. Well, He got knowing them bees good enough, he'd walk through the wood and he'd see a certain direction they was going. Well, he could follow them things and find a beehive. Yeah, find a tree where the bees was at, you know. And so it's a, they're amazing little creatures when you study them out. And I know one time I was on the job, working sawmill, and they cut a tree there, and it had a lot, had honey in it. I mean, just gobs of honey, we would say. And a lot of bees. Well, there was a man there was wanting the bees. He said, oh, I wish I had those. So he had a bucket there. And back then, I was, I weren't as wise as I am now. And I was bolder than what I am now. So he warned them. I just took and eased up and took my hand and raked them off. And I loaded those bees into the container with my bare hands and didn't get stung. I saw them do it on the public TV, the bees raised. And in a certain way, if you don't mash them or don't move too quickly, you can move right in harmony with them. And I got those bees out for them. I wouldn't do it now, you know, but I did then. And he took them home with him. But they coming out and just clearing, here come a man and woman. The man was in, and the woman, they had the beehives, each one had there. And it was big. I've never saw one that big. I guess they make them that big. Say like 30 inches, just to give you an idea, 30 inches square. And it was already, like I've saw in smaller form. But they raised it up. And bees, just one, fly by occasionally. And it didn't have no effect on bees, you know. No bees came to it. But they raised it up, and they slanted it back. Began to move it back to, and when it reached a certain degree, they stopped, and bees began to come out of the woods, and they came to that beehive by the thousands. They just absolutely covered it up. Amen. And then I woke up, and I began to think about that. And I told different ones about the dream. I told Brother Francis about it. He said his daddy used to say that honey is the only pure food there is, and that it can't be duplicated by science. They can't make honey. They might make something. I don't know if they can even make something taste like it, because it's already digested and all, and a lot about it. But the point being here is that those bees, they came, and it had to be slanted just right. And I want you to notice there was a man and woman carrying the beehive. And not the hive, I don't know if you call it hive. It was the thing they put where the bees make the honey. And I think sometime we, being in Brother Brown's message, and Brother Brown being an Old Testament-type prophet, the spirit of Elijah upon him, and everybody follow the message, seemed to have a different slant to it. Well, they can have as many slants as they want to. We got to go on with the Word, don't we? Amen. But they pretty much put a woman out of the picture as far as being very much part of this thing. Amen. And they kind of keep them in an Old Testament type setting. And in the Old Testament type setting, a woman was more or less a second class citizen. And that was because she failed, become one with a serpent, failed. Therefore, a man could have 40 wives if he wanted them. But not one of those 40 wives could have another man, see. And the woman just didn't have the, and they could buy, sell. If you had a daughter, you could trade and wanted a camel, you could trade one of your daughters for a camel, and it would be perfectly legal. See? Amen. And it's, it went that way in the Old Testament. And a woman had her, didn't have a very much place of, preeminence, other than a few like Sarah, maybe, and a few women that did have in the Old Testament scattered through, but in general they didn't. But when it came to the New Testament, when the resurrection took place and a new covenant was made, it put us in a new light, see. And when the resurrection took place, it weren't the men, the apostles, that was there to to witness what had been done first, but it was the women that came to the tomb. And Jesus told the women, said, you go and tell the apostles that I'm risen, you know. So they carried that first testimonial message there, signifying that it's a new day. See? It's a new day. So the gospel, it took a different slant than it was in the Old Testament. See? Amen. And the woman has her place in this. We're, Paul said, we're heirs together of eternal life, you know. So the man and wife. Glory to God. Now, this does not in any way make a woman a preacher. She still can't preach the gospel, but she has to have her place. And as long as she's shut out of the church and put into a realm of a second-class citizen, the church is not going to reach and do what it is to do. How many knows it? Because in Bible days, they're filled. He had four virgin daughters, and they prophesied. And there were women that helped Paul. And it was a place there that they had a pretty important place in, coming into the New Testament. So we see that in the New Testament, there's a place for women, amen, to be heirs of eternal life. And they're to be part of this thing. And they are to be witnesses. They can have a testimony. They can pray to God. And they can do certain things in the gospel that is very profitable. See? Amen. And I know as far as men, you know, most of us, we don't like to sit out a typewriter too much. And I don't know, but I'm not a letter writer much. I got a, Doug, he called from over in South Korea this week. And, he said, the barber had wrote the sense tapes and she'd also wrote a letter. A little letter. He said, I wouldn't even got a letter from home if you hadn't married Barbara. If it was just you, I wouldn't even got a letter, you know. And I said, well, yeah, I'm sorry to say, but you're right, you know, probably. So we're laborers together, man and wife, amen, or don't have to be wife, amen. The sisters has a great part in this thing, amen, and you need to rise to the occasion. Don't try to take preeminence over something, but stand up and be counted, your saying is, see? Amen. So in this dream, we came out of the woods there, and I take it signified, Barbara and myself, or any other couple that would, but especially concerning this particular thing, the slant on the gospel. But who it was, man and woman, see? And it was specific, very clear, that our man and woman. I had one corner of the, if indeed this is the right interpretation. But anyway, I'll just say the man and the woman, they had the beehive. They were holding it like this coming out. Walking like that, and they both raised up together, and they tilted it back. And when they tilted it to, but first they raised it up, nothing happened. Then they started tilling it. They tilled it back, and when they got to a certain point, got a certain slant on it, tens of thousands of bees came from all over, and it just covered that beehive up. Amen. So therefore, I think we got to get the right slant on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, in order to attract the real seed of God. And a lot of people, they're taking and doing different ways trying to attract people to the gospel. They have different programs and different things to try to bait the word, but you don't have to bait the word. The word's good like it is. How many knows it? Amen. The dream I had going, walking, and someone walking with me, I was following rather, and just, you've heard me tell the story, but I want to get here just for this purpose. I want to show you about baiting. You don't have to bait the word. We were going up through the jungles like, and up the side of a river, seemed like walked all night, a long, hard walk, and one thing he instructed, be careful, walk where I walk, wherever I put my feet, you put yours, don't break sticks, don't make noise. See? And we walked all night up through the jungle till we reached a clearing. And when we reached the clearing, there, on side the river, there was hooks on poles like canes sticking in the bank there, and they weren't in the water yet. But the one that I was following says, cast in and catch fish. And one thing I noticed, there was no bait on the hook. See, the fish in there, you look, they just swimming around, looked like by the thousands. So I pulled one of the canes up and dropped the hook in, and just no sooner than it hit the water, a fish got it. I began to catch those fish, and I woke up. I tell you what we need is this pure, unadulterated Word of God. You don't sugarcoat it. Amen. You don't try to dress it up because it's good like it is. Amen. How many knows it? The Word of God's beautiful like it is, and you don't have to dress it up. Amen. I noticed this week on the thing the Catholic had, trying to deal with the child molestation and so on and so forth. And I watched it one day there for a while, and I said, it's just like it's a Babylon. I mean, now they're more confused than they were before they did it, and they still, well, I tell you, why don't they just take what the Word of God says? Amen. But I'm talking this morning about having the right slant on the Word. See, having the right slant. Amen. And again, let me say this, being repetitious, the Bible, you can read the Bible and be neutral, have a neutral, read about Moses, read about Daniel, read, and just be kind of neutral and believe it's the Word of God. Amen. But it deals with you individually. There's a part of the Word of God that is for you, and you're part of that Word. God allotted a portion of the Word for each generation. And when that generation comes around, amen, there will be somebody to bring out the Scripture that is potent, that is that's good for that time, that's specifically for that time. I know a word that I'm wanting to say, but I can't like that is potent for that time. And when it does, there will be a people attracted to it. Just like seven church ages. All the way through the church ages, we find there were certain men. There were seven of those church age men. Each one of them had a message, amen, that fit exactly with the day they lived in. Now, Martin Luther in Germany, he came out of the Catholic Church. He tried to reform the Catholic Church from within. You can't reform these systems. Get out of them. Amen. I had a man, he wrote me a letter first, and then he eventually came to see me about the ministerial association. So I know you haven't been coming and so on. We want all the pastors come to the ministerial, all be members of the ministerial association, you know. And said, is there some reason that you, they have a breakfast about once a month and so on. Is there some reason that you don't come? Well, I said, well, yes, there's a reason I don't come. He said, well, maybe we can work it out. I said, well, first, I don't believe in denominationalism. He said, well, you know, says there's a lot wrong with that, Ben. I know him personally. Says, a lot of things I don't go along with either. So that'll make two of us, and said, I'll see that you have your say as much as anybody else does. You can express your thoughts or your opinions. Well, the Word of God and the Gospel ain't just a bunch of thoughts and opinions. There's a direct thing in the Word of God. Amen. So we talked there a little bit, but he said, here's the thing about it, Ben. You can't change it from without. You got to change it from within. He said, that's the way to do it. Let's get in there together and points that we don't agree in. We can express it, you know. So maybe we can change some of these things. Let me tell you something, honey. If my house is on fire and it's falling in, I'm not going to stand in there and try to figure out where would be a good place to put the sofa, where would be a good place to put this, or where would be a good place to put the little center table or something. I'm going to get out of that thing. Amen. So you can't. That's a good. Amen. I'm not going to get there argue about where it'd be a good place to put the couch or something or another. It's on fire. It's fallen in. It's finished. Denominational age is over. God wants a people that'll be just like the early church. Amen. Not one time did the early church join a church. Amen. From time to time, somebody say, "How do you join? How do you take members in?" One man said, "I may want to become a member of your church. How do you take members in? How do you join?" I said, "You can't join. You got to be born again." Amen. I can't put you in God's church and I can't take you out. And if God ever put you in, ain't nobody can take you out. You're there for eternity. Amen. And somebody said, "You believe in once saved, always." I believe if you're born again, you can only be born again one time. Amen. You can do wrong just like you were children, you know. You can do wrong, but it don't mean that you're not the child of that father and mother. You're still that child. You're still part of the family. Amen. But you do have to repent. Amen. If you don't repent, you'll suffer for it. How many knows it? Because the Bible says, "As many as He love, He rebuke and chasten." Amen. He'll chasten you, He'll rebuke you, and you'll want something or another, and He won't give it because you don't need it. Praise God. I was talking about man and woman being heirs of eternal life and part of this together. I heard a little thing. Two men were talking. Just get on the lighter side here. One man says, "You know, I got a Rolls Royce for my wife." The other man said, "Well, how do you do that? I'd like to trade mine for one too." Hey, in other words, he traded his wife for a Rolls Royce, you know. And what he meant was that he bought her one, see. He bought one for her, but the way he said it, I got a Rolls Royce for my wife. He said, "How'd you do that? Tell me, I'm going to get one for my, I'll trade mine for one." You know, but I wouldn't take two Rolls Royce or a dozen, you know. Amen. But the point being, we're partners in life together. Amen. Christ is partnered with His church. See, the Bible says, having the mind of Christ. Amen. Now, Paul back here came yesterday. He brought his two daughters up. Him and his daughters came up yesterday. And me and Barbara, I was taking showers, getting ready to go down, have dinner, and been working, and so they were talking in there, and whatever they were talking about, I came out and I was saying basically the same thing, you know, amen. And Paul said, "Great minds think alike." Amen. Well, the thing is, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which were also in Christ." Now, the thing you must realize is that the church is the feminine part of the body of Christ. Amen. And she has her part to do. Now, the ministry, which is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, those represent the male part of the body. Amen. Where the leadership comes in at. And when I say leadership, I'm not talking about your personal Holy Ghost leadership that you would have when you pray to God, you sisters. Amen. And you want to know you got a decision to make. You can go to God and He'll help you make that decision. He'll give you that revelation. But when it comes to the ministering, preaching of the Word, He left that job in the hand of men. See? And all the gifts He gave, in all the things He gave, 9 spiritual gifts, 9 fruits of the Spirit, and many of these things. But there's 5 He said He gave these to men. He gave these gifts to men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that's the ministry. Amen. In the New Testament, as well as old, there's never been a woman called of God, ordained of God, to preach this gospel. Amen. But every one of them ordained to be witnesses. Amen. Can you say amen? You can be a witness. You sisters can tell what God did for you. You can say, "Come here, a man that has the truth." Amen. That's what the woman at the well did. She didn't say, I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you. No. She said, come see a man. Amen. He's the one. He'll tell you all things. Amen. But there's a certain slant to the gospel. Now I'm going to pick up here. I wanted to lay a foundation. Now, you might say, well, why don't you read your scripture first? Well, here's the thing about it is, you can read scripture, and quote scripture. Amen. But it has to become a reality to you. See? So I believe that the coming out of the woods there with a honeybee high, I believe that's the gospel. Amen. And the word and to attract. I believe it will attract when it's right. See? So when it was tilted back to a certain point, the bees came by the... to you. See? So I believe that the coming out of the woods there with a honeybee high, I believe that's the gospel. Amen. And the word and to attract. I believe it will attract when it's right. See? So when it was tilted back to a certain point, the bees came by the hundreds. And we get this gospel just right. You don't have to sugarcoat it. And another thing, there isn't anybody going to come and partake of it unless they're called and ordained of God. The Word says no man can come except the Father draws him. Amen. He said, and then he said, all that the Father has given me, they will come. Amen. Luther had the gospel for his day and time, and he had the right slant because his church brought the people out. Well, then the Lutheran, they didn't believe in living, they didn't believe in living a sanctified life or anything of that nature. So God raised up John Wesley. He said, you not only got to live by faith, amen, but the blood of Jesus Christ sanctifies the believer. Amen. It rallied. And then here come the messenger for this age. He had a sermon. Now, the last thing in the Word of God that's given for the perfecting of the saints is the fivefold ministry. Amen. And the gospel to the Gentiles has a different slant on it than to the Jews. And I'm going to show you that. And Paul had the gospel for the Gentiles. And the slant was just a bit different than what is the same gospel, but the slant on it. The slant. They believed in Jesus both. They believed in water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But to the Jewish people, it was slant a different way. Because they went with that circumcision things, the meats and drinks and so on like that. Amen. But Paul came out and he said, circumcision, uncircumcision don't mean a thing. It's a new creature in Christ Jesus that means something. Amen. They were saying what they could eat and what they couldn't eat. Paul said, whatever is set before you, eat, drink, ask no question. Amen. Brother and sister, that's for the Gentile. Now I'm going to read you in Galatians here. Galatians chapter 1. We'll just read a little bit here. Let's see where we get to from here. All right. I'm going to start reading verse 1 and read down as far as... And we'll just stop as we feel led the Lord to stop. But here's what it says to begin with. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him up from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches, he says, and greetings, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, Paul's talking to the Galatian church. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, watch another slant. Which is not another, but there be some that troubles you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Of course, they try and mix law with it. We've got another part. But Paul said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he says the same thing again. As I said before, so say I now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, if Paul told Peter that, Paul would probably said to Peter, Paul, you go jump in the river. We don't need that. We don't need to hear that. Amen. But Paul had a certain slant on the gospel, and it was for the Gentile, as we will read here. He said, if an angel, now he was biased. Now he was biased on what he preached. You know, some people, they don't want you to be biased. They want you to blend with everything. God don't want a good blender. Amen. He want a good separator. Glory to God. Separate from the things of the world. Come out from among them. And he said, I will receive you unto myself. Did he say it? And be your God, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Now watch, Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel. Now Paul was not one of the 12 apostles. Amen. How many knows he was not one of the 12 Jewish apostles? Somebody said Paul was that 12th one. I beg your pardon. You go back to Numbers chapter 2, where he typed out the how Israel camped there, and there was four sides, and the tribes camped that way. But through Joseph, you know, his two sons, it divided out. God made two tribes out of that. And there was four tribes camped. They was three tribes camped each way, made the four corners. But there was right in the middle of that encampment, amen, there was a tabernacle, amen, the tribe there. Well, here's the thing about this. Glory to God. Paul, when he preached the word of God, he said, I laid the foundation. Let every man take heed how he build on. And then we look over into the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation when everything's said and done and finished up. Amen. There's 12 gates to the city. And they're named after the 12 patriarchs of Israel. Amen. There's 12 foundations of the walls and they're named after the 12 apostles. All deal with Jews. Amen. But in the middle of that city, hallelujah, that shows the exterior. In the middle of it, there was the throne and there was the bride tree and she brought forth her fruit. Gentile. Hallelujah. So Paul was not one of the 12. Amen. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. We'll get that in a little bit. And you got to have that right slant. Some people, they don't see the right slant to the Word of God. They think, pick up the Bible open. One preacher said, I just pick my Bible up and wherever it falls open, I preach from because it's all the Word of God. Well, that's true. Anybody could do that. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. Glory to God. But there's a certain thing in here for you. See, you're part of the Word. God allotted the Word for every people in this last day. He said it was a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Amen. And then Paul said, I want to get back to Galatians here, but I want to get over here in Romans. 11th chapter. 11th chapter of the book of Romans. I want to read the scripture here to show you a point that I feel is important here. Romans 11, and I want verse 13. And I want to show you how it goes, how it reads here. Paul's writing to the Romans, which were Gentiles, not Jews. He was writing to the Gentiles, and he said this, chapter 11. He says, for I speak unto you Gentiles. Now, who's Gentile? Everybody that's not Jews, they're Gentile. There's Jew and Gentile. So, Paul was not the apostle to the Jews. Though he was a Jew, God called him to preach to the Gentiles. Amen. Now watch what it says here. For I speak unto you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the, singular, the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Now he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was not one of the 12 to Israel. And he slanted that gospel a little different from what Peter did, and I'm going to show it to you in just a moment. I tell you, brother and sister, having the right slant on the gospel in this hour, it's important to see it. And when you get the right slant, you will be biased. Amen. I mean, you just want to go wrong with every Tom, Dick, and Harry saying this could be right and that could be right. Well, honey, I ain't wanting to know what could be right. I want to know what is right. Now, the whole Bible's right, but there's a part for you. Now, Paul said, I'm the apostle to the Gentile. Now, let's go, since we're in Romans, let's get in the 14th chapter here. Just to show you something. Jesus came to preach to the Jews, and when he, before resurrection, he said to the apostles, he said, don't go to the Samaria. Don't go to the Gentile. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See? Is that because he came as that messenger to the Jews. Glory to God. But when he was crucified and resurrected, amen, he brought forth, glory to God, the Old Testament saints. And let me tell you something. If you're to be anything substantial for God in this hour, you will be crucified. Amen. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But when Christ was crucified, amen, he brought forth a new group. Hallelujah. He went down in hell and delivered the saints out. And brought them forth and carried them into glory. And I'm telling you, most of us, especially me, I've been crucified lately. Hallelujah. I mean, if they could do anything else, I don't know what they could do. But spiritually, I've had people try to crucify me. And tell stuff that I mean, absolutely insanity, what I call it. Amen. But here I am, rose again from the dead. Of course, I'm speaking symbolically. Amen. There's a new group to hear the Word of God. Amen. When Jesus came forth, He gave another commandment. Before He ascended on high, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He put a different slant on it. After resurrection, he put a different slant. He didn't change the word, but the condition changed. The Jews rejected him and said, let him be crucified. And they were cut off. Amen. The nation, but that was those that accept him as part of the church. Amen. But Jesus put a different slant to it. Instead of saying, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. How many say that? Now let's see here. Here in the 14th chapter, 15th chapter of the book of Romans. It said, I'm just going to read just a bit of this because we got a lot other go. Jesus Christ, Paul's telling about him. He said, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision for the truth to God to confirm the covenant made to the fathers." Now the fathers was Israel, and the circumcision was Israel because Gentiles, they weren't circumcised. And that was a token of a covenant. Amen. But when Paul came, he put a different slant on all that. He said God circumcised the heart, not the flesh. How many will say amen? Okay. Now notice, Jesus Christ was the minister before. When he was here, that's why he didn't go out among the Gentile nations. He only went to the Jews. He was a minister to the Jews. But watch what verse 14, 15, 16 here it says in Romans here. Romans 15. Now here Paul's talking. Watch a difference. Watch his slant to the gospel because he's going to reach out and get Gentile. The book of Romans is the Gentile. It says, "And I myself am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able to admonish one another." And that's what we need to do, admonish one another. Amen. I had the thought on my mind about edifying one another. But it'd be a different sermon this because we couldn't get it all in one. But let me drop this point in to give you a little nugget so when I do get to it, it won't seem strange. He said edify one. You know something, whether it be true or untrue. before we let our lips speak it, we need to ask ourselves one question. If it's concerning a brother or sister or anybody, will this edify the body or not? Amen. And if it will not edify the body, if it'll be a stumbling block or cause someone to stumble and the word speak of causing some to stumble, then don't let your lips speak it. Come on now. I'm not saying don't tell a lie. I'm saying even if something be truth, if it would cause someone to be offended or stumble, amen, what's the profit and what's the purpose and what's the motive for telling it to begin with? If it's to kind of turn somebody against somebody else, then that spirit is definitely of the devil. Because we as Christians are commanded from the Word of God, amen, to admonish one another, edify one another, love one another, do good to one another, and especially to those that be of the household of faith, he said. Amen. So before we let our lips speak anything, whether true or false, concerning the brother. And we're in the flesh, and every one of God's children from time to time, they make their mistakes, they have their errors of judgment and so on like that. Amen. But you watch somebody, if they ever see a saint of God and they perceive they've stumbled, they'll burn the telephone lines up trying to tell somebody. What's the purpose? Ask yourself. Is it to help the body of Christ? Is it to edify the body of Christ? Is it to enlighten the body of Christ? Is it profitable? Will it edify? Or will it cause a soul to stumble? You see? If we'll go by the Word of God, this thing will work, folks. How many knows that? Hey, man, if I see somebody make a mistake, my purpose is to pray for them. Amen, and if I can, to be of help to them anyway. Glory to God, it's not to tell, do you know this and done that, or that done that, or this one done that. See, that is absolutely outside the body of Christ. Some can do that, and they might have felt the Holy Ghost. And they might have felt they were born again. And many times they might have been born again, but they're certainly walking in their ignorance. Can you say amen? If it don't lift up and build up and help the body of Christ, can it? Not can it, flush it. If you can it, you might go open the can later on. If you flush it, it's gone. Amen. But how many sees that? Admonishing one another, lifting up one another, edifying one another, doing good for one another. And one thing the prophet messenger of this age said, he said, always say good things about one another. Amen. And said, my mama used to say this, if you can't say something good about somebody, just don't say nothing at all. We haven't always followed that rule, but I'll tell you what, it's a good rule to follow, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. If I see somebody stumble or make a mistake, what good is it going to in the realm of perfecting the saints and causing us to come together and being what God wants the church to be, what good would it do? Amen. It would do no good whatsoever. Because here's why. The Bible talks about a little match can start a big old fire. And one of the writers over there says, we tame everything. We tame the animals of the sea. We tame this. But said the tongue no man can tame. It takes God to tame that, doesn't it? How many know that? It says it can set the course of nature on fire, hell on fire. Amen. Then he goes on and says, how great a fire can one little match start? One little match could burn this building, everything around here. Amen. How many knows it? Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with a match. Amen, all that, but when you set the fire, amen, how are you going to catch it? Just like we got in the little booklet there on the, are you a 7x70 Christian? We put that in there about a pillar, a feather pillar. You can cut a feather pillar open in the rain, in the wind rather, and you can shake it out in the wind. It'll blow those feathers everywhere in the treetops and everywhere. You can never go back and gather them up. How many knows it? Amen. So, sometimes if we let our tongue say some things Hey, man, we can't never go back and pull it back, and we can say I'm sorry, and then that's all you can do. Amen. And you can make correction where possible. By the time it goes through three mouths, it don't look nothing like it did to start with. Amen. It's all out of shape. And it gets so, time it goes through 10 or 12 people, it gets so ridiculous that it's absolutely insanity, see. So therefore, if you're a Christian, before you tell anything good or bad about anybody that might hinder or stumble somebody, even though somebody might make a mistake. Amen. What purpose is it for you to magnify? What's your motive? Ask yourself. Amen. Is the motive of this to help the body? No, it's going to offend some. Amen. Just pray. And see, there's a way of doing this thing to be Christian in this hour. When you get the right slant on this thing, it's going to work. Now, Paul says here, I'm still in Romans. I got on that. I felt like I needed to say it when I admonished one another. Verse 15 of this, we find verse 8, Jesus was the minister of the Gentiles, Jews, but watch who's the minister of the Gentiles. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace of God that is given unto me. Personal pronoun, he's the apostle. He said that I, personal pronoun, should be the minister of Jesus Christ to you, Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now see, God ordained him to bring a gospel that would cause the Gentiles to be accepted. He weren't one of the 12. He weren't Peter. And many of the things Peter preached and Paul preached the same thing, but Paul slanted a different way. Peter, when he was over Antioch, we might get that, I'm going to try to, in the second chapter of the book of Romans, where Peter, he separated from the Gentile and didn't want nothing to do with him. Amen. But Paul, he was a man that loved the Gentile. Praise God. Now look here what it says as we read a little further. Verse 17, he says, Paul, don't stumble over your eyes now. But he knew where he was standing. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertaineth to God. And I said that sometimes. Somebody says, Ben says I did this. So I, you know, well, I tell you, amen, if I jump off the building, you ain't going to say we jumped off, are you? Amen. You'll be glad to have I in that. All right. Notice this here. Amen. Verse 18. I will not dare speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me. To make. Watch what Christ wrought certain things in him. To make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Peter and none of the other 12 had nothing to do with this whatsoever. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about, I have fully preached the gospel. So have I strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. In other words, he's talking about the Gentiles as to the Jews. They were counted as dogs and everything else, but here come a man with a gospel for them. Praise God. There's one scripture here. Boy, get back to Galatians. I want to read. Amen. It's in Colossians. And this is Colossians. And I'm going to start Colossians 1, verse 25. I believe I do better when I don't write something down, don't you? Amen. Other week I try to do like other preachers, write down, go to them. But I get that and I get stumbling, I fall all over myself trying to go through and hunt my scriptures I got wrote down. But if I just preach the word, And then let what come to my mind, it works better for me. Some people, they may need to do it, and it may work for them, but this worked for me. Now, Colossians 1, verse 24, Paul says, "Who now rejoice in my suffering?" Something wrong with your mind, boy. You rejoice in your suffering. Amen. It was. He had the mind of Christ. And he wanted a boy. He was a man. "Who now rejoice in my suffering for you?" I thought Christ suffered for us. Paul, what in the world are you talking about? You lost your marbles or something? Now watch. "Who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Paul, have you lost your mind? Don't you know Christ did all that? What in the world are you talking about here? No, he lost his mind, but he got the mind of Christ, see. And God, see, Christ could not come to the Gentiles as a person like that because he was obligated in a covenant with the nation of Israel. He came to his own, see. Amen. But he used Paul, and Christ came down, incarnated himself in Paul to the extent that it was the same as if Christ was standing there speaking. I'll tell you something else Paul said that Christ didn't say, but I accept on the same basis with the same authority. They asked Paul about them that died and gone on to be with the Lord and all, because Jesus spoke saying, "He that believeth upon me and lives shall never die." And I believe that, but they had it in the natural. But Paul said, "Let me tell you how it's going to be," and it weren't wrote nowhere. But remember, Christ was in him talking. He said, "This is the way it's going to be." He said, "The dead is going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye to be called up to meet the Lord now." You show me where Peter, Jesus, or any other one said it. Nobody said it but Paul. He was there standing in the Christ had manifested himself in Paul to such a great way. He became the apostle to the Gentiles, the messenger to the Gentiles, and in his body was made up the suffering. Amen. That was lacking in the body of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. Amen. Now, don't fuss with him, see. You don't fuss with Paul. Because God set him up there and gave him that authority, and he spoke the word, and God vindicated him. Amen. He put a certain slant to the gospel. And he said, "If anybody preach anything else other than what I preach, let him be accursed." Now, he weren't talking to Jews. Peter would have told him right quick, "Get out of Jerusalem, Paul. We have no need of you here." Well, that's what they did. They had let him down. They had to let him down a basket one place there because they was going to get him. But anyway, let's get back to Galatians chapter 1, and we'll finish up this year, and I'll close out the message. But having the right slant to the gospel. Amen. We just finish up here in Galatians where Paul said, "If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed." Now that's pretty big talk, folks. Amen. Those are pretty big shoes to fill. Amen. I don't think nobody going to fill them. But watch now. Verse 10, it says, back to Galatians chapter 1, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So he was biased. He had a certain slant to the word. All right. Watch what he says. Now listen, Paul. Be sure you know what you're talking about, because we're going to listen to you and believe what you say. You ain't going to believe what he says unless it's quickened to your heart. How many knows? If it's in you and you're a genius. See, oh, I could stop you and preach another sermon, but I better go on. See, Paul says, "I have begotten." You've got 10,000 instructors, but you have only one father. And the children has the genes of the father. If you've got Paul's genes in you, and I'm talking spiritually here now. Amen. You can't help but hear what he says and believe what he says and respond to what he says. Because it fits you just like a glove fits your hand. Now watch Paul, verse 11. He said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, Neither was I taught it of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is apostle talking. Amen. So we receive ours from the preacher, but still it's got to be the Holy Ghost give you the revelation, don't it? I can only speak words your ears hear, but God's got to let your heart hear. Can you say amen? Okay, verse 12, verse 13. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I brought in the other week how Paul at the feet of Gamaliel, he was a pretty important man. He wasn't just some little backwood fellow that fell off the turnip wagon last week. He's a man that knew his way around. Amen. He was above his equals, you know. He profited, watch, verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion, above many my equal, in mine own nation, being more zealous of the tradition of the fathers. Buddy, he believed that word to the letter, and don't cross him. He'll have you put in jail. Don't cross him. You don't want to mess with him. He's got that down pat. But watch him put another slant to it when he gets it through. All right. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Amen. He was that when he was born. To reveal His Son in me that I should preach Him among the heathen, which is Gentile. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but went into Arabia and returned again to the Master. He went out by himself. He had a special message. He weren't one of the 12 men. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. I'm telling the truth, and I believe every word of it, Paul. Afterward, I came into the region of Syria and Sidon, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judah, see, Jews, which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. I hope you can see God in me enough to glorify God in me. And I hope I can see God in you enough to glorify God in you. When I see that dedicated life, see that there, that there's nothing in life counts anything except serving God. And anything else you have in your life, it finds its place somewhere else. He's got to be number one. Amen. Now let's go on with the chapter 2, I'm hoping that I got enough time. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, and went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel. Everybody say that gospel. That gospel. Amen. Not what Peter necessarily preached. This slant was different from what Peter preaching. We're going to show it to you. And there's got to be a gospel in this hour slanted right to catch the end time church. And it can't be saying the word come to the prophet and all these things. Amen. It got hit right. It's the little book of Revelation chapter 10 that the mighty angel bring down. They went up and communicated that gospel which I, personal pronoun, preached among the Gentiles, because he was an apostle Gentile, but privately to them which were of reputation. In other words, he didn't go just to the big shot, lest by any means I should run or have run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. In other words, they tried to get him to be circumcised, because that's what they were doing. And that because of false brethren, unaware brought in, who came in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. In other words, put us in law. Someone wants us to join the church and do this and do that. Brother and sister, God set you free. Stay free! Rejoice in the liberty wherewith He's made you free. Praise God. Alright, now let me get the next verse here. Verse 5. To whom we give place by subjection. Watch old Paul being biased. No. Everybody say no. No, we didn't give subjection to them. And these were apostles. These were the church, but they were of the Jewish brand. They had their slant towards Israel. Paul slanted towards the Gentile, and it do make a difference. Amen. All right, let's go on here. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. To whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. See, what was truth to the Gentiles were not necessarily truth to the Gentiles, the Jews. Because the Jews, they held right on to that circumcised, and they still do today. And the church didn't give it up. But Paul said circumcision and uncircumcision don't mean anything. And then he says, when God called Abraham, was he in circumcision or uncircumcision? Guess what? He was called in uncircumcision. And later on, when God put him under a certain Jewish covenant there, that God introduced circumcision to identify a different race, which made the Jews. But Paul was called when he was... Abraham. See, Abraham was a Gentile before he became a Jew. And he was a Gentile when God made the promise to him, made a covenant, and it was by promise, and there was no written word. They were led by the Holy... He was led by the Holy Spirit and unspoken word. Nothing was written. Till 430 years later. We got the other week. Okay. Here goes. On the trying to get in a hurry here. Verse 6. Paul went up to Jerusalem. Watch the big shots up here. Having their convention. And when I say that, I'm saying in a way of differentiating. Not making fun of Peter and them. They were doing what they were ordained doing. They were doing what they were supposed to do. They had the right slant on the gospel to catch the Jews. But I'm saying that. But they thought they were high and mighty. And who's this little guy come through trying to tell us what to do? Watch what he says here. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no difference to me. God accepteth no man person. Can you say amen? He said, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Then, but contrariwise, you bunch of big shots there in Jerusalem with a big flower church and all the pomp and everything, who this little guy stumbled out of the wilderness here. Hey man, he's been down in Arabia 3 years seeking God, and he got his revelation from God. And when they, Peter and them, begins, Paul, this is the way it is, this is the way it is, and I'll tell you how to do it. Paul said, they added nothing to me, but contrariwise. When they saw, watch, contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, which is Gentile, was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. Now watch your two gospels. Amen. The same gospel, two different slants. Amen. Nowhere will you ever get Peter or any of the Jewish church say it weren't necessary to be circumcised. They held right on to that with their life, and God allowed it. Because God wanted to get enough of the Jews out to rule with Him in the millennium. To set on the 12, He told them 12, those apostles, you'll set on 12 tribes, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. But Paul, he came to the heathen, and that's what you are. Sorry. I'm talking from the Jewish perspective now. They always call you heathen, uncircumcised. Sorry. Amen. Feel good to be a heathen when you hear the word of God, don't it? Because a heathen, you can go from a heathen to a child of the King. Amen. When Paul beget you with his gospel. Praise God. Amen. We went from the guttermost to the uttermost. See, we were in the gutter. 1 Corinthians 6, 6 chapter tells the Gentiles they were adulterers, they were fornicators, they were whore. He just goes on and on and on and on. He said, but now you're washed, now you're cleansed by the Spirit of our God, and you're justified. And justified means you never do it before. And in the book of Romans, Paul said, it is God that justifies, who is he that condemneth? If God said, okay, who are you to condemn? Amen. Let me get these other scriptures here right quick. Yeah. Amen. The gospel of the uncircumcised was committed unto Paul as the gospel was circumcised. He says, verse 8, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, which is Jew, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles." Do you see the two slants there? How that slant just exactly. Amen. I'll tell you, the bees are going to come. When the real saints of God hear this gospel preached in the power of the resurrection, it's going to be something. It's going to feel right to them. It's going to sound right. And nobody can change them. Yes, they'll be biased. They can't go down here in the Church of God or some other place. Amen. Where they preach a Trinity and a false baptism. They can't go there and feel good about it. No, they're biased. Amen. They're like the church, early church. They can't go eat a raven. It could eat when God sent the flood was there. God sent out a raven. It never did come back. You know why? It could eat a dead body. It could eat fruit or whatever. But he sent out a dove. And that dove, the Bible says, found no rest for its feet because the dove ain't got a gall. It can't got bitterness. It cleanses itself. It got oil from the inside. Cleanses itself. Amen. There's so much about the dove. It typifies the Holy Spirit. But the dove found no rest for its feet and it came back to the ark. And I'll tell you, if you're a dove of God, you might get out of the ark of safety a little while. Amen. But you can't find rest for your feet. There ain't but one place. Come back to the ark. And that's the word of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ. Amen. But some people go worship with this church, worship with that, worship with that. Well, we're all worshiping the same God. It don't matter. Yeah, I'm wondering about that. Amen. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. Are you biased, Brother Howard? Yes. And glad to be, because I'm biased about the Word of God and the Gospel that Paul preached. And I'm not neutral about the Word. Just pick it up and read it. You get the book of Proverbs. It tells a lot of good things, but it ain't taking you in no certain direction. But Paul took us in a direction. Amen, amen, amen. Getting up quoting Scripture, I could get all my Scriptures wrote down, get the concordance, get every Scripture that deal with the subject, get here and preach it to you. Amen. What would I be doing more than someone just studied the Word? Anybody that can read the Word can do that. Now listen to me here. Amen. Watch. Verse 9. It says, "When James and Cephas, which was Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceive or recognize the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship." Watch this now. That we should go unto the heathen or Gentile, and they to the circumcised, which were Jews. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I always do. And Paul says here, continuing his writing, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was a blind. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles." It might have been bacon. Might have been ham. Peter, oh, I ain't going to say it though. I thought I'd say, I ought to get you and shake you real good. But you can't do but what's in you. See? Verse 12, "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them that was of the circumcision." In other words, them other Jews. He didn't want to be in a bad spot with them. It says, "And the other Jews disassembled likewise, inasmuch as Barnabas was carried away with this dissemination." Paul said, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel," talking about Peter and them here, the apostles, "I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew liveth after the manner of the Gentile, and not as Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jew?" In other words, he laid it on him real good. But Peter, see, God weren't mad at Peter or anything. Peter was only called to go to the Gentiles, but Paul saw them. He had a different slant. Amen. If I want to eat swine meat, I eat it. Amen. If I want to eat crow, I eat crow. And sometimes we do have to eat, we say eat crow when you have to take something. But amen. But see, the thing about these Jews, they had to keep a strict dietary law. Certain meats they could eat and certain they couldn't. Amen. But when Paul came, I don't know what Peter was eating down. It might have been eating ham meat. Whatever it was, he didn't want them other Jews seeing. Amen. Because before that, the other Jews came, Peter did eat and drink with the Gentile. He was there as one of them. But when the big shots, the other Jews came, old Peter said, "Lord have mercy, I don't want to catch me with this bunch." And he withdrew himself, inasmuch as they, but Paul said, "I withstood him to the face because he was the blame. He were not walking uprightly according to the gospel." Whose gospel? Paul. Having the right slant on the gospel is important for this hour. Amen. And in this, with the right slant, you give the woman her place. She can testify, she can sing, she can give a testimony, and she can tell the experiences God did to her. Amen. But she don't get up behind the pulpit and take a tech and preach a sermon. That's the man's job. Can you say amen? Amen. But she's heirs together with us. And give that woman that place. Remember what I said here. The man's the head of the house, but the woman is the heart of the house. See? Amen. That's where the family come together. The man's the head. But the mama, when the kid skinned her hand, the mama one used to put the little band-aids and blow it and kiss it and whatever. You know, I've never understood this. What's about a mama's kiss can stop the pain when the little boy or the little girl fall and skin their hands real bad. All mama have to do is kind of kiss it and they off to play again. Amen. A man, he said, forget it. Go on and play. Basically, you know. Amen. I know working down here on the metal building there. I stepped on the nail and went through my foot, shoe and went in my foot. And my boss man's son, he said, "Let's see it, Ben." And there was no napkin laying there in the muddy water. And he just said, "It was bleeding a little where the nail came out." He grabbed it. "Let's see that." Rubbed it off. "Oh, it's all right. Get on back to work." Amen. You know, now a woman wouldn't do that. You know, she'd say, "Have you had your tetanus shot? And have you did this and that and the other?" You know. Amen. But that's the way. Remember what I said this morning on this Father's Day. The man is the head of the house, but the woman's the heart of the house. And you got to have the head and heart together to make it work. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the love of God, for the Spirit of Christ, and for this message.